Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, friends. Welcome into the firm of Harrison Meringue. Patrick Harris with you. That is Stephen Vaughn to my left. Casey Smith back there on the ones and twos per usual.
Stephen, Stevie Midday in the house.
Yo, what up, dudes?
I almost texted Isaac Robb yesterday for the, hi.
Hey. Dude, he caught me so off guard with that. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Because usually I fill in. I don't know. I just let him. You know, I sit out and let him do the thing. Because mm-hmm. I'm not trying to steal people's bits.
Totally, dude. It happened to me once. I filled in for Isaac with Jason.
Yeah.
And I did my like, hi, friends. And Jason just was quiet. And I was like, oh, no.
Well, ahoy. You didn't do hey, what to do.
And I suppose that's true. it's a call and response. Right, you only say ahoy if you say what to do.
Right, it's like a robot. It's like he only knows that action, that command.
Cannot compute.
Ahoy. Hey. That's my
hey.
Name now.
Hey. Welcome, everybody, on a fantastic Thursday. Happy to have you along. It is a 10 Toes Down Thursday. Stoked about that. Stevie Brackett's in for Mr. Meringue, who will be back Thursday next week, I believe. So we're flying by the seat of our pants. I'm trying to get Joe Fisher on the show, but I think he's ducking me.
I think he is.
We're old friends, too.
Joe doesn't want the smoke.
We're old friends, too. That's my guy, man.
I heard talk out there, he's ducking you.
It's my ride or die, dude. Yeah, we're out there, and he's like, dude, let's talk MLS. And I'm like, or we could do it on the air,
you could
buddy.
Do it, yeah.
Or so you guys can duck Homer for the next hour. Oh, God.
Stop it. Although I do like Oregon a lot this year.
You are a duck homer. That's what I've learned about this show. You are a real duck homer.
Dude, it's so tough. Like, I am not a duck homer. Like, you guys got to remember, I grew up despising that program. Absolutely despising everything about it. But when you get left behind, you're just kind of like, oh, well, I guess.
Yeah, once they kicked you out of the conference.
Once they were like, nobody likes you anyway.
Just took their ball and went home.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. But so now, you know, I say this to the brand man all the time. The worst thing to ever happen to me as a fan is Wazoo getting kicked out. The best thing to ever happen to me as a professional is Wazoo getting kicked out, because now I don't care. Now I just watch games. I just call it like I see it.
Yeah, because like what are they playing for?
Right, yeah.
Pride?
Once out of every 8 years, maybe we get a playoff berth and go to Austin and
play
get blown
out. Play for pride?
Out.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Play for money. Play for championships. Play for the Pac-12.
Play to drive to Pullman and get wasted for 2 days.
Isn't that's it? A reason.
That is a good reason.
That is a good reason, too, actually. It's hard to even say the Pac-12, because it's just the new Pac-12 now. Like, I'm going to have a hard time saying, you know, Boise State and Utah State.
It's Pac-State.
Yeah.
Like, every time. The Pac-12, it's Pac-State.
Literally every time I'm going to have to say the new Pac-12. I don't care if they like it or not.
you're gonna stick with it. You're going to like it.
They're going to like it. It's the new Pac-12. It ain't the old Pac-12. It's not my Pac-12.
No, it's not my Pac-12. I don't even know if I can name all the Pac-12. You want to try?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to try to do a geography. Washington State, Boise State, Oregon State, Colorado State,
yeah.
Utah State,
yep.
Fresno State,
let's go.
San Diego State,
come on.
Texas State, Gonzaga.
Is someone supposed to be checking this?
I don't know. I got nine.
That's right.
The Pac-12 is nine, correct?
Pac-12 is nine.
Eight football, nine with basketball?
You got it, dude.
Bam!
Nine full member institutions.
That's
you
right.
Can put it on the ball!
And apparently, Texas State is just supposed to be baller.
Dude, like,
that's what I keep getting told.
They're picked towards the top of the Pac-12.
I know. They could be, like, potential college football playoff, Texas State.
Well, they return a quarterback. That's why. That's what I've learned. If you return a quarterback in college football, everyone's going to say you're really good.
I'm returning two of three.
Well.
Do I know who's starting? I don't.
Yeah.
Brad, too many guys doing the same job.
Oregon State's returning their quarterback. Does that not count?
Easy. No, he doesn't.
Easy.
He's terrible.
We don't need to throw those stones.
Malik Murphy. Where did he come from? Was he at Duke?
He was Duke in Texas.
And they bailed on him for Darian Mensah.
I'll never forgive him, too, because I remember Duke was playing Wake Forest. I had a bet on Wake Forest, and he chucked one like 50 yards. Last play of the game, touchdown. Pissed me off so bad. I'll never forgive him for that game.
You got bad beat on it?
Yeah. Brad Jackson, by the way. That's the Texas State quarterback.
Brad Jackson.
He's like a white boy.
Never heard of him.
He runs.
Oh, he runs. Oh, great. Yeah. Great.
He's supposed to be good.
Is this like some kind of a...
He got bad intentions.
Bear Bachmeyer situation?
Bear Bachmeyer. Brockmeyer.
I don't know if you know that drop. That's Cam Newton. He was like, this guy wears number 47? If a quarterback wearing number 47...
He got bad intentions.
He does. Dude, Bear does not like to throw. He wants to run you over.
Yeah. He's like Scataboo, but in a real body.
Right.
People are starting to post on about the Giants. They're saying Scataboo and Najee Harris. It's like when a Chrysler rolls up next to a Rolls Royce.
Chrysler? Scataboo's nice enough to be a Chrysler?
I guess so.
Dude, is he going to survive after this year?
Nope.
No, that's why they got Najee Harris.
That's pretty sad that you got to go and get your boy Najee Harris.
3,000-yard seasons. Not sad about that.
Oh, Steeler homer over there.
I mean, that's just numbers don't lie. He's got 3,000-yard seasons and a torn Achilles. And the one year he didn't play for the Steelers, it just happens to blow up in his face.
Right.
Can't blame it.
Sorry, continue on.
Get your bag, Najee.
We're going
Harris.
Najee Harris arguments to open the show.
Go for it, dude. He used to be a Steeler. Casey will talk for 4 hours about this.
That's
garbage.
What I'm saying.
Easy. What are we doing here, folks?
I do love just to get Casey going on rants.
Oh, because he will.
Because he will. About stuff that I can't even argue.
To be fair, during the pre-show switchover, me and you were talking about right guard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's telling me how bad this right guard is. And I'm like, I get it. And then
Shannon Sharp calls him fish filet.
And then he shows me highlights. And I'm like, well, yeah, dude, but I can't argue anything. Because I'm just not going through watching right guard him. I wish I could. I wish I had that life. But I'm not about that life. Casey is, and I love it.
You know what life I'm about? Trying to figure out why I can't buy Burt Goldstein tickets right
You're
now.
You're very upset about this.
Well, it's my wife's birthday present.
Hope she's not listening.
She's not.
What are you, spoiling?
She's not listening.
Does she listen to the show ever?
Sometimes. She's at work now, though.
Oh.
School started, dude.
That's right.
You know how this goes.
School does start.
Coach Vaughn?
Yeah.
Right? Or does she work all year?
No, she gets a little summer. She's she's admin, though, now. So she's not even a teacher anymore.
Oh, so she does less.
No, she does more. She does more, dude. She's in charge of all the teachers. She is the dean of faculty. Sounds right.
It's a pretty nice gig, man.
Dude.
That was a long there trying to figure
dude,
out.
Dude, I'm guessing.
I guarantee you, she talks about her work day when you come home from work
Casey, you're right. I guarantee that's not what her title is. Guarantee it.
What does your wife do? She works at a preschool. Oh, cool. What kind of activities do they do? I'm out. I'm out of information.
Finger.
You can.
Yeah. I can tell you where she works, what her title is. Outside of that, I'm good. I don't have any more info. That's all I got.
I'd argue with you guys. I'm the same exact way.
I got a little breaking news here if you guys want.
Hit me with it.
A little sounder here. In everybody's weighted anticipation, James Harden has signed a 3-year, $97 million deal with the Portland Trail. I'm joking, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Now, did the Blazers have interest in him? Because I feel like the Blazers would have had interest in him, but then they just missed out, probably.
You know, let me tell you what. James Harden, Ja Morant, and Dame Lillard, dude. That's the trio I'm looking
for. How about this? Harden's career earnings, $511 million.
Dude, they keep paying him.
God, it's so good to be a basketball player.
He's one of the most again, I know it's James Harden. We like to trash on James. He's one of the most impactful guys in terms of the game right now.
He's one of the best offensive players of all time. It's not even – I don't even think it's a question.
Everyone's step back is James Harden. Like, everyone does the dribble cross, let me walk it up the court because of James Harden.
Dude, peak James Harden on the Rockets when they were playing the Jazz in the playoff. The Jazz were guarding him literally behind him.
They were hacking him, too.
Well, they literally stand behind him because they were guarding the step back. They just let him go to the hoop. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how good that guy was.
If you Google, does James Harden space?
Suck. Choke in the playoffs.
Have a ring. Oh. Have an MVP. Have an NBA championship. Have a championship. Have a no trade clause. Have a player option. Have any rings. 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 8 are, does he have any rings?
And that's kind of the problem with the NBA is just like, if you can't win a ring, you suck.
You suck.
You're terrible.
To be fair, he is the fourth player in NBA history to eclipse 500 million. The other three are LeBron, KD, and Steph Curry.
Yeah. Dude is awesome. Dude is an awesome player. Now, he has his playoff woes, for sure.
He's fat in the offseason all the time.
Yes. He sucked with the Clippers in Game 7 against the Nuggets. The Game 7 with the Rockets against the Warriors where they went and missed, like, I believe, 26 straight three-pointers. That's going to haunt him. But they, you know, if they hit 2 3-pointers in that game, like, he wins a championship, and we think so differently of James Harden. Because that Rockets team was awesome.
Sure. I mean, the Oklahoma City team was awesome, too.
Yeah. I mean, he was the sixth man on that team.
Still can't get these tickets. Super frustrated right now.
I bet if you're James Harden, you could.
If I were James Harden and I had $500 million, I'd just wait for the black market and buy front row.
Ooh.
We were talking about this. Tumani Kamara was at the Timbers game yesterday.
Yeah. Front row.
Dude, that's the life, man. I don't need to go to the club. I don't need to have 6 kids with 7 different women. I'm about, like, going to the ballet and then the Timbers game.
Well, that's why Tumani is so loved here.
Yeah.
Because he's going to Timbers matches.
Man of the people.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the time
I met? Now, he might have hit the club afterwards. You don't know this.
Yeah, that's true. He ain't got no job right now.
No.
He got to go to work today?
Yeah, he's got to probably go and work out and stuff.
Yeah, but, like, when? Like, 2 o'clock?
Whenever he wants to.
Whenever,
does
that's
he
what
have
I'm saying.
To report?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he has to report, but I guarantee they're tracking him to see if he actually comes in doing something.
Like, I have
to. You just paid him 90 right. mil last season.
I have
He better be going and working out.
I have to be here by 10 o'clock. I choose to be here by, like, 8:30 or noon or 8:30 or 9.
Right.
But I don't have to be. I could roll in at 9:57 like the dude that sits in your chair does.
That was a cheap shot.
Well, that's what we do, right? Aren't we supposed to make fun of people when they're not here?
Cheap shot.
Do we make fun of you this bad?
What are you going to make fun of me for, dude? I'm perfect.
That's true, actually.
It just plays with itself. Yeah. Like, what are you going to make fun of me for, that I'm kind of short and chubby and
You
bald?
Know what? I would argue this. Danny can't come in at 9:57 because he actually is prepared. He's preparing at home. He's ready to go.
Yeah, you might be true.
So yeah, he doesn't need you. He doesn't need your help. What, does he want to bounce ideas off you? Save it for the show, bro.
To be fair, I feel like we do at least burn a few topics the second that we walk in, because the first conversations we have are always, oh, did you see this? Did you see this? And we could spend 20 minutes on it. And then instead of just waiting for the show, we riff out there a lot.
I can confirm also with Primetime, I don't think one time since I've been here and I started at the start of the year, have they, like, said an idea for the show before the show to me.
Well, that's 20 years of experience. Huh. That's what that'll get you.
I bet you and Danny could do that, though.
Maybe.
I think you guys could roll in at 9:58, talk zero before the show, and have a great show.
That's what we do every day.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Great show.
What are you talking about, man? That's a normal day in the world.
Exactly.
Well, I have figured out here how to get some Brett Goldstein tickets.
You got it?
They're pricey.
Oh.
How much money can I spend on these before my wife gets really mad?
Well, it's a gift for her.
Yeah.
She can't get mad.
She can't get mad?
She can't get mad.
Well, she can.
I mean, yeah.
She can.
I mean, is $370 mad?
Per tick?
Per? Oof.
Yeah, it might be mad.
Yeah, I that mean, might be mad.
That is mad.
That is mad.
For the side character in Ted Lasso?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, he's probably like number 3. But still.
He's not 1 or 2.
What about 226?
He's not Ted Lasso.
What about 226?
What a business, though. Third on a show and you're getting $370 per ticket?
Oh.
God.
The sides are good deals.
Ted Lasso,
Ooh, not a Ted Lasso guy, huh?
Not.
Never seen it.
I battle with it a little bit. I find the show really funny. The third season was not my favorite. It was a little drawn out, in my opinion. It's tough, dude.
See, I don't think it's that funny.
See,
I want Sudeikis to be really funny, and I don't think he's that funny in that show. I think it's more like a heartwarming, oh, look at this little team. They're so successful. And it's just it's not realistic. And so
you want
just,
Eastbound and Down.
If it's going to be funny and over the top, yes.
You
do
want
that.
Eastbound and Down for soccer.
Where I feel like soccer, they're trying to make it out like this is a realistic like thing that's going to happen. And I just don't think it's very realistic at all the way they do it.
I think one of the biggest challenges for me in that show as somebody who does watch soccer is it's meant to appeal to people who don't like soccer.
Right.
So then it inherently makes fun of people that do like soccer.
Okay.
It's like I don't love stoner movies either. Okay, Super Troopers is the exception. But like Half-Baked, I think that movie is fine.
Easy Rod.
Pineapple Express.
I think it's fine. Because it's like placating into like stoner vibes, bro. And I'm just kind of,
Yeah, see, I'm not a stoner, so I like it.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Because it's for you. It's just rich of stereotypes.
Right.
But Ted Lasso, there's a lot of it that does work for me, though. All I did enjoy that show.
I watch Harold and Kumar A Very Christmas every single year. I can't.
That's your go-to Christmas movie?
That and Friday After Next. So,
dude,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
I'm done with that.
All right, I'm doing it. Pulling the trigger.
Oh.
Which means I have to text my wife to don't look at the credit card.
At least you didn't open a new credit card.
That is true. That would be bad. Wait, maybe I should. Do you think I have enough time in the break? Open a new credit card just to spend money and not tell anybody?
I'm
but
sure.
Then how do you pay the new credit card?
You don't. Isn't it? Do you pay off credit cards?
You just let it ride.
Hey, let it go.
Yeah, who cares?
Free, dude, it's free money.
Oakley Doakley, we got a great show for you today. It is a 10 Toes Down Thursday. Stephen Vaughn in for Danny Meringue today, so we'll have a lot of fun with that. We'll get to that in the Big Nooner. I want to talk some college football today. Lenora Sellers has a new job. We're juiced up on the AO for Yayo. But a moral, big topic of the day that I kind of want to get to is true pressure on college football coaches this year. True pressure. And I'm talking like, can you lose your job pressure or can you not lose your job pressure? We'll start there in college football. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
1021 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge, 503-864-6326 kind of day. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. You can also jump over on the YouTubes. 105.1 The Fan is the channel. Smash that like, subscribe button, jump in the chat, and you can get real mad about Peyton Watson like everybody is over there currently. We'll get to that in hour number deuce.
Hey, we talked about this before the show.
Hey, like they all want me to change the board behind me.
Right. It's a controversial take right now.
Yeah. Is it bad news? No, it's just average, normal news. We'll get to that in hour number deuce. But I wanted to ask the question about college coaches, and I want to pose this almost like when we get to the Big Nooner, I want to circle back on this and ask the question of which of these two coaches would you rather have? Because I think there's decent amount of pressure on them. But I want to know how you equate real pressure, okay? Let's take Dan Lanning, for example. Let's take Marcus Freeman, for example. A lot of pressure at Oregon. A lot of pressure at Notre Dame to win a national championship. Marcus Freeman's been in one. It was not a pretty game, but he's been in one. Mm-hmm. Dan's got that bugaboo about kind of big losses late in the season. So there's definitely pressure on them. But is there more pressure on Dan Lanning than Shane Beamer at South Carolina, who for my money will be the first college coach fired this year? You know, is there more pressure on Sarkisian? Is there more real pressure on Lincoln Riley? So I'm curious how we actually view pressure on college football coaches. Because look, everybody's trying to win. Mm-hmm. If you're Texas Tech, you're trying to win. If you're Alabama, you're trying to win. But is Kalen DeBoer's pressure different than Dan Lanning's?
Yeah, I think there is different levels of pressure. Because look, I mean, Dan Lanning, I think there is a ton of pressure on him this season mm-hmm. to have his team perform in the playoffs. Like the regular season, I don't think, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like the regular season is what it is for Oregon. Like we kind of know they're going to, at worst case, they're going to be probably 10-2, make the playoffs.
And Oregon was dominant in that Texas Tech game in that first game of the playoffs.
Right. They took that one step. But at the same time, all that we're really going to judge him on is how they perform in the playoffs. Do they get, you know, dump trucked by 40 points again? But I think there's real pressure there because, look, he's not going to get fired. I don't think there's any scenario where I see Dan Lanning getting fired this season.
Sure. Same with Marcus Freeman.
Right. But at the same time, there is a lot of pressure because I think there's so much expectation, and there should be with those programs, and that's where you want to be. So I think that pressure is a lot different than Sark, where if Sark goes 8-4, like he probably will get fired, mm-hmm. and he probably should get fired because of all the talent he has. I think there's different. It's just different types of pressure. So, yeah, they're all under pressure, but it's all just kind of different at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm also curious, like, as pressure starts to mount again, like,
I feel like the Sark so to that point, I feel like the Sark pressure, where you're fighting for your job, that is a little more intense pressure, where you're going to feel it in the games. Like, you can feel the tension when they cut without with the knife, like, man, like, he's going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Where Dan Lanning is like, all right, well, we lost again by 25 in the playoffs, but we're going to have another good squad coming back next season. So there's still a bit of pressure, but you can understand, you can kind of talk yourself into, you know, we're taking a step forward.
A behind door number three is a third type of pressure. And that pressure I'm curious to the most is, I'm going to throw a name at you and I'm going to ask, when does pressure become like another guy who has kind of been left for dead now? When does Kirby Smart start to feel pressure? Okay. When does Kirby Smart turn into Dabo Swinney? Okay. I think Dabo's a better coach than Kirby Smart. I think Kirby's a better recruiter than Dabo.
Yeah, I would flip those.
You would flip them.
Yeah, I would flip those. I think Dabo's been able to bring in great talent, and again, that's why you land a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you land guys like the Sammy Watkins, the DeAndre Hopkins. He's landed big names over the recruiting builds in history. But what I love about Kirby Smart is Kirby Smart is really good about assembling teams.
Sure. Like, sure. They have identities, great D-lines.
Identity is mm-hmm. probably the biggest thing for me when it comes to Kirby Smart.
But if Kirby Smart goes another couple years without winning a title, I mean, look how much we bag on Ryan, not us, I mean the collective, we look how much we bag on Ryan Day, and he won one a couple years ago. Kirby hasn't won one for a little bit. And I know that's crazy to say because it's only been like 3-4 years since he's won one.
Well, I would say that the Ryan Day, I guess, fire and the heat that we had towards Ryan Day is similar to what we're talking about with Lanning now. That's not similar to Kirby Smart, because I think Kirby Smart, when you have a few of those, you're kind of in a league of your own in some ways.
And maybe behind door number four is the outlier we don't think of it as, and that's where you are. Like, if DeBoer goes 8-4 this year, I don't think they can afford to fire him. If Lincoln Riley,
they gave him the new extension.
If Lincoln Riley doesn't win 9 games this year, I don't think they can afford to fire him.
Right.
And then there's other guys, like, I don't think BYU's ever going to fire Satake.
Like, he would have to do something that'd be horrible. Right?
As this texter says, Dan has to win less than 7 wins in back-to-back years to lose his job. Now, that ain't going to happen.
Now, there's always the James Franklin scenario.
Sure.
And that's where I think the Lanning thing comes into play, where Franklin could never get over the hump, right? He could never beat Ohio State or Michigan. He just couldn't do it. He could beat everybody else, couldn't beat them. Right now, Oregon has that same thing where they're beating everybody. Like, Lanning doesn't lose to teams he's supposed to lose or supposed to beat. If Oregon's supposed to beat them, they'll win. Now, he's also starting to beat some more teams, but when he gets to the playoffs, he's been losing.
Sure.
So if this continues to happen, then you have one bad season like Franklin. You lose to UCLA. That's when you get fired, but it's not right now. Like, Lanning's still so new to Oregon that it's not going to happen at this point. But that is the road he's going to continue to go down if Oregon continues to get crushed in these playoff games.
To use Franklin as the analogy, it's like if Lanning loses to Indiana last year at Autzen,
yes,
in the regular season, and then you go on the road the next week to Northwestern and you lose. That's where it starts to tumble. It's just such a fascinating thing to me, because
but that was also like 5 years, 6 years of Franklin.
Right. And that's where I wonder if Kirby can eventually get there. If Kirby's like making the playoff but not winning, not appearing in national championships. Because look, we talk about Dabo winning national championships like it was 15, 20 years ago.
It wasn't.
It's not. He's got more titles. Well, the only guy currently coaching right now with more titles than him is Kirby. And we talk about him like he's Lou Holtz.
I just think of it as I always think of football as a what have you done for me lately type of game.
Sure.
Kirby's done a lot more for me lately than Dabo Swinney has.
And Dabo.
Oh, agree, totally. It's more just the conversation of when does that pressure,
like Kirby,
that door number three of pressure, start to hit a guy like Kirby?
I think Dabo should face some pressure because he does not institute the portal at all.
No.
Like, he has not embraced that.
Evolve or die.
He had 9 draft picks last year for Clemson. That team sucked. And then you had 9 guys get drafted in the NFL. Casey's point, he's a great recruiter. He brings in talent. They don't win. That goes on the coach when you have the talent like that, and now you're not filling that talent with transfer portal stuff. You're just going to say, oh, well, we're doing it the Clemson way. Dude, if Clemson has another bad year, like, they need to think about it, canning him.
I picked Clemson to win a natty last year.
Right.
They were like the dark horse Cinderella was really into. And I wonder if that's the other thing, is that a lot of these guys are losing coordinators too.
Yeah.
Like, who's siphoning off coordinators and who isn't? I never hear Notre Dame coordinators being touted as the next guy up, you know? And he lost Venables, and he's lost guys over the years at Clemson, and that's what's fallen for him.
Yeah. That's why it's pretty impressive.
Maybe Kirby's the same way. I don't know.
That's why it's impressive what Lanning's done so far. Now, he lost both this year, so we'll see what he does. So if they continue to win this year, you know, he's lost 3 big ones.
And no,
big jobs.
And nobody's poaching Cignetti guys either.
No.
See, that's zero pressure.
He's the one guy.
Zero.
One guy has zero pressure because that was literally the worst program ever. They win a title.
Who has the number one job security in America? It's got to be Cignetti.
100%.
I mean, even more so than like Eric Morris at Oklahoma State this year. Even Kalani Sitake at BYU, who I don't think they'll ever get rid of.
Right. No. How could you fire
Cignetti?
Everyone
is getting fired before Cignetti. He could go 0-for this year and not get fired.
Right. I agree.
He brought a championship to Indiana.
I still can't believe Indiana won a championship. Like that sentence doesn't make sense.
Well, I can if you take the sentence, eye off the helmet. Because if you watch the games, those teams were really
those
good.
Those teams were awesome.
Teams were really, really good. I don't know if they're like Joe Burrow good, LSU good, but like, or that Georgia team that steamrolled everybody. What was that, 5 years ago, 4 years ago? I don't know if they're that good, but that team was really good.
They're the best team.
A lot of dudes in the league.
Best team in the nation last year. I don't think there's any doubts about it.
No doubt about that one.
Which pressure would you rather have? Would you rather have the Lanning Freeman pressure, the Lincoln Riley, Kalen DeBoer pressure, or the Kirby Smart Dabo Swinney pressure?
I'd rather have the Lane Kiffin pressure.
There is no pressure on Lane.
Exactly.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, see, I think there is.
I think there is in the sense of...
I think when they lose to Clemson...
He can't lose five games.
When they lose to Clemson week one, there's going to be a little bit of pressure coming on him.
Yeah, bagged on Clemson this whole segment just to say that they're going to beat LSU.
I think Clemson's going to get double digits. I
even
like that
if
one.
Lane loses five games, you're still owed $91 million.
Good text. Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, Kirk Ferentz. I still think Ferentz would get fired before Cignetti.
That's tough. Dude, that bro's been there forever.
Punt.
Yeah.
Punt University.
And their fans love it. Their fans embrace the puns.
Well, they wave to the kids, man. You can't fire somebody who waves to the kids.
That's, you know what? That's actually a really good point.
Plus, somehow, they'll bring Caitlin Clark into this, and that'll be a whole
Caitlin
problem.
Clark goes out. I love Kirk Ferentz. How could you fire him?
There was a former Penn State coach who gotten a lot of
trouble. Hey.
Oh, hey.
Whoa.
Joe Snoturno.
Easy rod.
Off the top rope, lowercase.
What are we, waving the kids?
I think the pressure I'd rather have oh is God. Dan Lanning and Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
Because we know they can. And I think a lot of us assume they both will. Like, if I had to put a futures bet down in the next 5 years that both of them have natties, I would do it. I'd put $100 on that.
Yeah.
Probably pay out nice. I think both those guys get a ring in the next 5 years.
I agree. If Freeman and Lanning both stayed at their schools forever, who would be fired first? Like, they're not interested in the NFL. They would never go anywhere. They're just going to ride it out.
That's a great question.
I think it's got to be Freeman, just because the fan bases expect more out of Notre Dame.
I think so, too.
Yeah, maybe. Because they've got those and Oregon doesn't
they've
have
got
one
those
yet.
Oregon doesn't have one.
I think Lanning can survive a 6-6 season, a 7-5 season, and he'd be like, well, we're going to bring it back. We're going to spend some more. Where Notre Dame's like, nah, dude, we got to win. Because Notre Dame thinks they're still the best program in the nation.
Yeah, they think it's 1947.
Win one for the Gipper.
Let's circle back on this in the Big Nooner, and that's the question that I'll ask you. Would you rather have Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman? Very different coaches, but on the same trajectory. We can get back into that a little bit later. But what's going on in Penn State? You guys ready to party, y'all? Let's go. There's Casey with sports. We will get to some Peyton Watson stuff in hour number deuce. It's a 10 toes down Thursday. We'll get to that in the Big Nooner. Sticking in college football, we'll have some little fun here. I got Stevie Fire with me to my left. The Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania has announced that the leader of a cocaine trafficking ring involving Penn State University students and two student fraternities surrendered last Tuesday morning. We are pleased to report that the most significant members of this cocaine trafficking organization are accounted for and will have their fair process in court. These are very serious charges, and the next steps will be preliminary hearings.
This one's going to get wrapped up very quickly.
Oh, probably,
they're
ma'am.
They're going to snitch on each other so fast.
Oh, without a doubt. I think some people got arrested in Maryland, too, so they're, like, on the lam just trying to figure it out. But, like, dude, the idea, like, I mean, college kids are college kids, bro.
Yeah, but...
Are they selling good stuff, or are they selling stuff that's going to kill people?
Giant cocaine rings?
His nickname was Pablo Pledge Scobar.
Whoa, Pledge Scobar?
Yeah, because he's using the pledges to, like, help out, you know.
I'm shocked that a fraternity is wrapped up in this.
Also, one of the dads got wrapped up in it, too.
Could I argue, though, that if you're selling clean cocaine, I'd rather you doing that than this crap you can buy on the streets in Portland that's got fentanyl up in it?
No, you don't want people trafficking cocaine in your country.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's a cool drug, man.
It's not a safe one.
Depends on where you're getting. I mean, if these, that's what I'm saying, though. If these
I'm
guys
with Casey, I feel like you don't, you just, like, you're shooting for not to have it.
Okay, I will
like you're
admit.
You're lowering the expectations to be like, well, you know what? At least it's good stuff. Let's shoot for, let's try to get it out of there.
I don't think that's lowering expectations. I think that is the expectation, is that it better be good stuff. It's expensive, dude. As Robin Williams once said, it's a sign from God saying you make too much money.
And it's also, it was the good stuff because we saw what Dane Lanning did on the sidelines.
No kidding, dude.
That's good stuff. You could tell.
That's just the zins.
That's just
the zins.
He never acted that way in any other game.
Dude, I bet
zins
you.
Zins in the juice.
Dude, I bet you can make some yayo zins that you just gnaw on and your mouth is just like numb.
Just Lanning's zin guy just messed up and gave him the cocaine. That was my pack, dog.
Why did you buy Zin on the black market? There's a Buc-ee's right over there. Could have just gone over there.
Dude, because Lanning was crazy.
It's nuts, dude.
I love it. That was one of the, because he looked like he was going to cry, but he also looked like he was going to murder everybody.
That's part of the conversation that I want to have in the Big Nooner. Would you rather have Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman? Because Marcus Freeman's pretty buttoned up.
He's not
good looking, clean cut dude.
Painted hairline.
No, he's not Jaylen Brown. He's too young for painted hairline.
He's full painted.
Is he full painted?
Oh, full painted. Carlos Boozer.
I'm going to have to check this out. I'm going to have to do a little investigation because if that's the case, I'm against it.
I do my own research.
Again, that dude should have some white on the front. He's painted. Painted hairlines.
Maybe I'll be Marcus Freeman for Halloween.
You should do that as a bit. Like, you and Danny bet something, and that's your punishment.
Easy ride.
Well, we're not going to go full, but, like, paint my hair. Maybe, right. I could get those big glasses like Jaylen Brown and be Jaylen Brown because he paints his hair.
Yeah.
You going to paint the beard as well?
No, I could grow the beard.
Okay. Because that's also painted.
Better start now.
I don't know what Danny's punishment would be. That's just your punishment.
But I'm reading this the Complex article. According to the Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General, the former Sigma Chi member Agostino Abitiello and co-defendant Thomas Robinson served as the operation's primary suppliers, making regular trips to Philadelphia and New York to get their hands on large amounts of cocaine. The drugs were then allegedly cut and packaged at their fraternities at fraternity houses before being sold to other Penn State students.
I mean, I've always wanted to go to a whiteout.
Nice.
Different term for a whiteout there.
Well done.
I'll give love over to the YouTube chat on that one. But
blow Paterno.
Did you guys go through this the other day?
No, we didn't. That was just Joe Fish texting. I don't think Primetime talked about any of the names, but Joe Fish threw out like 10 different Penn State puns the other day on Primetime. It was great. Just text it in. Joe Fish.
The great Joe Fisher.
That Robinson's father, like Stephen was saying, was also faces charges for tampering with evidence and hindering the case
that's
by
the
allegedly
thing.
Concealing a safe containing
as a father, do you stand up with your kid there?
LeVar Railington.
Say Coke Barkley.
Say Coke Barkley is good. What did you say yesterday, Casey? Christian Krakenberg? Or was that Joe?
That was Joe.
Oh, Christian Krakenberg is pretty good.
Joe was looking up Penn State names and then just like, hey, what can I rhyme Coke with? It was great. It brought me a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. I did think I came up with $1 billion idea, though.
I think
Coke's in packets.
I don't think you're wrong. I actually agree. That is not a terrible idea.
Not a terrible idea. You know what would be cooler than that, though, is golfing instead of going to class. South Carolina, I told you, Shane Beamer's getting fired. That's next. 105.1 The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hour number deuce coming up. It is a 10 toes down kind of Thursday. Hour number deuce. We will get into this Peyton Watson trailblazer situation and why y'all should be so angry right now.
Change the board. What are we doing?
Can't be bad news if it's just usual news.
For the longest time, I thought you guys were saying Peyton Wilson. the linebacker for the Steelers. So I was getting geared up. I thought you guys were just messing with
me.
Yeah,
we had a whole segment about Peyton Wilson. He had a great preseason game.
I thought you guys were messing with me for a little bit. And then I was like, wait, he's a basketball player.
I've never heard of Peyton Wilson in my life.
NC State.
I don't know.
Wolfpack.
For life.
I'm so footballed up right now, I can't go to other
Philip Rivers, NC State.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, NC State. Do we count him as NC State? I feel like we only ever knew him at Wisconsin. Yeah. To where I think Dylan Gabriel's Oklahoma.
See, I think he's UCF.
Nice.
Thanks.
I like that.
Bo Nix is Auburn.
That's right.
Cam Ward, incarnate word.
Dude. He's definitely not Wazoo.
Definitely not Wazoo. Can tell you that, too.
Jeez.
John Mateer, that go Cougs, baby.
He's Coug.
You're so hurt.
I know. Bo Nix, a duck. Bo Nix is a duck.
He's a duck.
Bo Nix is a duck.
Dante Moore, he's a duck. They've graduated to duck status.
Justin Herbert, Springfield High School.
That's right. Shelton.
I couldn't remember.
Shelton.
I couldn't remember. I have this theory, and Steven, I'm curious if you think this as well. Does anybody really think South Carolina is going to be good this year?
No.
Yeah. It's like you've got Lenora Sellers. And
just me.
It's just you?
Just me.
Okay, because
define good then.
I think they're going to be a...
like 7 wins?
Yeah, 8-9 win team. They're going to shock a lot of people.
That would be good.
I think they're really talented. Personnel-wise, I think they're really talented.
I believe they are.
I bet you love Nick Harbor, don't you?
I love me some Nick Harbor. I also love me some Vakari Swain as well.
Okay.
I believe they are picked to finish... Scrolling.
Their win total is 6.5 right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Ooh, hit me with that under.
I'm going to take that over.
South Carolina schedule.
The edge rusher, too. What's his name?
Dylan Stewart.
Dylan Stewart, yeah.
Yeah.
He could be top 5 pick.
Let's see. Let's play this game real quick because we all like playing the game. Kent State, that's one.
Dub.
Towson.
Win.
Dub.
Hosting Mississippi State. I'm already
W.
At Alabama.
L.
Home against Kentucky.
Win.
That toss-up.
I think it's a toss-up, too.
That's a win, though.
Those are the games where they got
to
win.
Off of the loss to Alabama.
The Steiner,
you'll get your get back.
The Steiner coming in.
I actually kind of like Mississippi State, but we'll give them Kentucky.
Patrick's going to pick Kentucky because he's a duck homer.
You and that bell cow.
We'll give them Kentucky, so that's 4 wins. Right. Florida.
Where's that?
At Florida, at the Swamp.
That's a loss.
Hosting Tennessee.
That's a win.
At Oklahoma. Hosting Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Tennessee's ranked, bro.
Do they deserve to be?
Yeah, they're the SEC.
Fair question.
There we go. I'll take South Carolina.
I'll take that L.
At Oklahoma?
Loss.
That's a loss.
Hosting Texas A&M?
That's a loss.
See, that's toss-up probably, but loss.
At Arkansas?
That's
they
win.
Are picked to be the last. There's 5. Home against Georgia?
No.
And then at Clemson?
No.
So that's 5. 6.
I've got possible 7.
6
they
if
could,
you go.
They could beat Clemson,
If Clemson's beaten up by the end of their year, that's a win, too.
See, it's going to come down to
maybe 8 wins.
It's the Kentucky-Tennessee game.
I also think
they get those?
It's Mississippi State's a good one, and what was the—
Kentucky?
Not Kentucky, but the—
A&M.
A&M, that's the one. Yeah. That'll probably be their—
There's like 4 toss-up games. They got to win 2 or 3 of them.
Well, they have no excuse. They have no excuse because Lenora Sellers is literally doing nothing but playing football. He has no classes at the University at South Carolina, at University of South Carolina. Excuse me, fight on. So outside of that, he's going to play golf. He has an internship at a golfing range.
Yeah.
What's more egregious, the golfing range or Matt Leinart's ballroom dancing?
I had to say, hey. All to Lenora Sellers. I did the same thing in college.
Is it just an SC thing? Fight on.
Oh, nice. Ugh. I didn't think
so. Is that what it is?
Yeah, USC, you have to take bad classes.
You have to take bad classes?
Isn't it? I mean, I feel like he has to take a class.
I think that's his class.
Golf intern?
Yeah.
That counts as a class?
Like, you can take, I think you could take bowling at Wazoo when I was there.
Yeah.
And you bowling, are enrolled, dancing. You know, if he's finished all of his qualifications or... I don't know, and I'm sure all different universities have different standards. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, Steven, and say that the SEC doesn't have harsh academic standards
for their football players.
For football players.
Their quarterbacks. Lenora
Sellers is already set to graduate in December of 2026. All he has to do is finish the capstone that is the college football season and his fall internship.
The SEC
his fall professional internship, which is at a golf course.
The SEC quarterbacks don't have a tough schedule. That's shocking. You know what? This might be a hot take. I think I would rather have the ballroom dancing class than the golf internship. And I know we all love golf.
I hear where you're going.
Dudes love golfing. But at the same time, if I'm a quarterback, I kind of need to focus up. Like, I don't want to take too much time out of my day to be go golfing and do all this stuff. And I might get too obsessed with golf. That happens. People love golf. I want to focus more on football, so I'm going ballroom dancing.
Well, the new...
That's going to take, what, an hour of my day? I don't need to practice outside of that, and I just got to probably dance with some chicks.
And you end up on Dancing with the Stars eventually,
right,
if you make it to the league?
Right. Exactly.
You're Ocho, you're T.O., you're Emmitt Smith.
You flame out of the NFL, oh, man, I can fall back on my ballroom dancing, and then it's a good story.
Well, one of the things coming out of Eugene that everyone's been big on is Dante Moore has been golfing to help relax his mind.
Okay.
I think it will keep your competitive edge as well. Golf is a very mental sport. Look, the top 150 golfers are all fairly similar in how talented they are. It's all about upstairs.
Yeah.
It's probably, I mean, some of them are definitely better than others. But
all of them are really psychopaths in between the head.
Exactly. But Scottie Scheffler is probably the most calm between the head, which is why he's able to be as dominant as he is.
And Scottie's a little bit of a psycho,
and,
too.
And Scottie's a little crazy, too. So there is that aspect. But I'm with you guys. I want to be able to dance with my wife and, like, show off at my wedding.
That is sick.
You know, I think that would be awesome.
Show your moves at the club.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're Lenora Sellers, I imagine he is single as a starting quarterback in SEC country.
Even if he's not single, he's probably single.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like James Harden is single sort of thing.
Right. Like, you might have a girlfriend in South Carolina, but hey, you know what? You play at Tennessee. What am I going to do?
Yeah,
what do you want?
He's got
to
a
do?
Girlfriend at Kent State, at Towson,
yeah,
at Mississippi State, at Alabama.
According to Google AI and EssentiallySports.com, South Carolina quarterback Lenora Sellers is in a relationship with Ella Samelis, a fellow student and member of the university's dance team.
All right. Should have taken ballroom dancing.
That's right.
Should have taken ballroom dancing.
Now I would.
Could have gotten closer with your partner.
I want up this. No classes or having a hot tub in your dorm room like Josh Rosen did back in the day.
Why the hot tub in your dorm? That would take up so much space.
Dude, because he's the good-looking quarterback at UCLA, and now you're just getting chicks to go hot tub in your dorm room.
Also, if you're Josh Rosen, why do you live in the dorm? I guess
that's
he's a freshman.
That's the real question, is why are you at the dorm?
Yeah, first, I know most schools, first year, you have to live in the dorm.
That was probably it.
Wazoo was like that when I went there, but I went to community college first.
Right.
Because, well, duh.
Yeah, dude. Community college all the way, bro.
Yeah, dude. Clark College, undefeated in football since, like, 1956.
Clackamas Community College, Harvard on the Hill.
Lynn Benton, CC, baby.
Oh, look at us. Look at us.
I went to a D3 college first, but then I worked my way back.
Check out the big brain on
I had Brad. Great games at Clark Community College and Lynn Benton Community College.
Yeah.
I love those places. Good
funny
memories.
Funny enough, Clark hasn't
Good
had
road
a
runners.
Clark has never had a football team, so that's why they're
undefeated. Yeah, you're Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that. I was letting you have it.
Dude, there was a guy on my high school football team. He was a couple years older. I think I was like a sophomore. He was a senior. It's the worst prank I've ever seen anybody pull. This kid was not very good. Not that I was any better, but this kid was not very good. And they found some stationery, and they sent him a full-ride scholarship to play football at Gonzaga University. And he definitely came to school and bragged about it.
Like, for real, for real?
That's, for real, for real.
That's hilarious.
Until someone was like, bro.
You know they don't play football.
Oh, dude, I can't imagine the shame. I feel terrible.
That's pretty fun.
I feel terrible telling that story for anyone out there that I grew up with.
It's the fact that the dude had the confidence to then brag about it. That's where it gets fun.
You feel bad because he's such a loser.
I know.
Right? Like, we've all met that person where it's like, they're such a loser. You're like, man, I kind of feel bad for him because everyone hates him. Everyone doesn't like him.
You still don't like them, but.
Right. You don't like them. You still make fun of them. You still talk trash.
The sympathy, empathy still kicks
but
in.
But I also kind of feel bad for you because everyone hates you.
I know.
It's a tough break.
I now regret even telling that story. It's because I feel terrible now.
Having said that, what a loser for thinking he's going to play against
that. Yeah, no kidding. What an idiot.
Idiot.
You could be worse. You could be the GM of the Portland Trailblazers. Hour number deuce is next. 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.